Welcome to the Turkey Hunter Podcast with me, your host, Andy Galliano. In this podcast, I share with turkey hunters just like you how to have more turkeys on your hunting property and how to have more successful turkey hunts. I teach you how to do this with tips and interviews with turkey hunting pros, wildlife management tips, and entertaining turkey hunting stories. Tune in weekly as I share proven and simple strategies to help you have more success this turkey season. Make sure to head over to www.imturkeyhunting.com to subscribe to receive free turkey hunting tips, tactics, strategies, and product reviews. Also, please visit and like my Facebook fan page. Go to Facebook and search I Am Turkey Hunting, and also feel free to post your turkey hunting photos from this past season and let us know where and when you killed your bird. For all of you Twitter users out there, please follow me on Twitter, where my handle is @TurkeyHitman, and I will be sure to follow you back. And now, for this week's show. Hello and welcome back to this week's episode of the Turkey Hunter Podcast. You are listening to episode number 266, post-Thanksgiving leftover turkey soup. And I am your host, and the guy who, after gun deer season weekend number two, has officially seen more deer on the hunting club property in the past 2 weeks than he saw the entire season on that same property last year. More on that in a minute, but right now we are 107 days, 9 hours, 47 minutes, and 34 seconds away from opening day of spring turkey season in Alabama. So this past weekend, while hunting, I saw two more deer on the... I'm still going to use the word new because this is actually our second year in this club, but new hunting club. And when you add that in with the one deer that I saw there last weekend, now I'm at three deer for the season in 2 weekends of hunting, compared to seeing two deer the entire season last year. Now, I may have just jinxed myself, and I may not see another deer the rest of the season for saying that out loud, but this just further goes to prove that a lot of our hunting success has to do with scouting and getting boots on the ground. And yes, some of it has to do with luck, but I think we control a lot of our own luck in the woods by scouting. So I'm looking forward to heading back down to the club this weekend, and I'm pretty sure that my son wants to go with me again this weekend, so we're going to try to make that happen. And hopefully he'll kill a deer this weekend, and then that way he'll have some meat in his freezer. Well, meat that he's harvested in his freezer. Regardless, we'll have a good time. It'll be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it. So, hey, I'm starting to make some podcasting plans for 2020, and it looks like 2020 is going to be a pretty interesting year for the show and for you guys listening if some of the things that I have planned pan out. So I'm excited about that. You know, this past year, I did not put a survey together for you guys to help me by giving some feedback on the show. And I think I'm going to do that again for this year, probably sooner rather than later. So keep your ears open for that in the next couple of weeks. I really do appreciate the input that you guys give me about the show because I'm one person. And just because I think a topic is interesting to cover on the show does not mean that that topic is really interesting to cover on the show. So I really do appreciate the feedback I get from you guys, and I want to get more of that for 2020. I'm not sure if you guys know this or not, but Christmas will be here soon. And if you're looking for the perfect stocking for your own stocking, then be sure to stop by my Etsy store and pick up some stockings for your stocking. Hang in there with me, and I'll tell you a little bit more about what in the world I'm talking about here. But another option is to ask Santa to get you a pair of really cool wild turkey socks to go in your stocking, since you've been so darn good this year, you know? There are four patterns to choose from. There's the Rio Grande pattern, which looks like the breast feathers of a Rio Grande turkey, because it actually is that. There is the Merriam's pattern, which looks like the wing feathers of a Merriam's turkey, which might be my favorite pattern. And that's because it is actually from a picture of wing feathers of a Merriam's turkey. Then there's the Eastern pattern, which looks like tail feathers of an Eastern wild turkey, because it actually is from a picture of the tail feathers of an Eastern wild turkey. And you guessed it, the Osceola pattern, which looks like the wing feathers of an Osceola turkey. So what I did with the images that are on these socks is I tried to get something that was unique to each and every subspecies of turkeys. And now, the tail fan of a Eastern wild turkey is not necessarily anything that's unique, because the Osceola tail fan looks just like the Eastern tail fan, but they're really cool looking anyway. The socks are $17.50 a pair, and they are super comfortable. Now, I have to tell you, I'm a weirdo about clothes. If something is not comfortable, I will not wear it. And I really like these socks and wear mine all the time. Now, trust me on this when I tell you that you will be the envy of all of your friends when you are sporting these socks. Heck, I'll be surprised if you don't wear them with your Bermuda shorts and sandals this coming summer at the beach or the lake. Another good Christmas gift to ask Santa Claus for when you are sitting in his lap telling him how good you've been this past year is some turkey hunting education. So you could ask Santa for some or all of the video classes available on Turkey Hunting University. And for those of you who are not familiar with Turkey Hunting University, a couple of years ago I spent quite a bit of time putting together some instructional videos on turkey hunting. And what kind of drove me to doing these videos and putting them out there is that not everyone turkey hunts the same way. And that's not to say that one person's way of turkey hunting is better than another person's way of turkey hunting, or more effective, or more fun, because we all have our own opinions of what fun is. But what I did with these videos that's a little bit different is that I interviewed some very good turkey hunters to talk about things like how to set up properly, the different collars to use, how to deal with some different hunting situations, how to use decoys, what to do after the shot, safety, and on and on. So there's several videos that are available on the Turkey Hunting University website. And if you want to learn from, let's say somebody like Jeff Buds, who has killed now well over 400 turkeys, or you want to learn from someone like Preston Pittman, who is a turkey, then there are some really good and really informative classes available on the Turkey Hunting University website. Go check those out. See if there's anything there that you want. You can actually get a discount if you buy all of the classes. And the website is turkeyhuntinguniversity.com. So go check that out and add that to your list of things you want from Santa. Okay, so let's get down to business now. Last night for dinner, for gosh, probably the 9th or 10th time this week, I have had turkey in some sort of a dish. So it got me to thinking, what better way is there to get rid of all that leftover turkey from Thanksgiving than to throw it in a pot and make some turkey soup, which is exactly what we're going to do today. So let's get it on. If you plan on hunting Wisconsin, then you need to know that December the 10th is the deadline to apply for a spring turkey harvest authorization, which is basically a turkey tag. Applicants can choose up to two time period and zone combinations that they'd like to hunt. As a third choice, applicants may choose one zone in which they will accept a harvest authorization for any time period, which is kind of cool. This third choice can be the same zone as the first and or the second choice. The second and third choices are optional, but why wouldn't you put a second and third choice on your application in order to increase the likelihood that you're going to draw a tag? Once the drawing results are finalized, successful applicants are going to be notified by mail and unsuccessful applicants will be executed. Oh no, I misread that, sorry. Unsuccessful applicants will receive a preference point that will increase their chances of drawing a harvest authorization next spring. Applicants can also check the status of their application online through the Go Wild website. Now here's the cool thing about Wisconsin. Any harvest authorizations that were not awarded in the drawing will be available for purchase as bonus harvest authorizations starting March the 16th. Bonus harvest authorizations will cost $10 for residents and $15 for non-residents. Hey, non-residents, Wisconsin offers some of the least expensive tags of any state in the country. They want you to hunt in Wisconsin. They want you to come there and spend your tax dollars on hotels, on fuel, on food, on license sales, and it's nice to go to a state where they want you there. All right, all turkey hunters are required to possess a valid spring turkey license and a wild turkey stamp when they acquire their spring turkey harvest authorization. A 2020 spring turkey license is $15 for Wisconsin residents and $60 for non-residents. The 2020 wild turkey stamp is $5.25 American cents. So for non-residents, you're talking about $80.25 total for a wild turkey license, tag, and stamp. And I'll tell you that after spending over $300 as a non-resident to hunt in Mississippi, $80.25 is a bargain. So I'm not going to go through all of the different seasons with you guys because that information is available online. You can just go to Google and search Wisconsin 2020 spring turkey season dates, and all of those dates should pop up for you there. I'm going to tell you from experience that period A and period B, which are mid to late April, are very popular time periods. So if that's when you want to hunt in Wisconsin, you're going to have some competition, but that doesn't mean you can't draw a tag or an authorization, as they call it. So the Ute turkey hunt in Wisconsin is going to be April 11th and 12th, and it is open for hunters who are 15 years old and younger, and those hunters need to apply for a spring turkey harvest authorization before the December 10th deadline. A harvest authorization for any time period can be used during the two-day youth hunt, but hunters are limited to the zone listed on their harvest authorization. So when those Utes put in for their tags, then they need to be sure to put in for the zone that they want to hunt, but the time period or the season that they choose does not matter, which is pretty cool. Now, Wisconsin also offers hunters with disabilities an opportunity to apply for a harvest authorization outside of the normal spring turkey drawing. Those hunters can apply for the spring wild turkey hunt for people with disabilities by submitting the DNR forms 2300-271 and 2300-271A. Now, the disability hunt is valid on private lands only, and those forms must be submitted by December the 10th to the DNR wildlife biologist for the county in which the hunt will take place. Now, any hunters with disabilities who apply for a turkey harvest authorization using those two forms may not apply for a harvest authorization through the general spring turkey drawing. So that's very important. But it may be a better opportunity to draw an authorization using those two forms and the special drawing they're having for hunters with disabilities than it is in the general spring turkey drawing. So keep that in mind. Now, if you live in Utah and you want to turkey hunt there this spring, then you'll want to know that the application period for spring 2020 limited entry turkey hunts opens on December the 3rd. If you want to be included in the permit drawing, you must submit your application before 11 p.m. on December the 30th, and you can apply at the Utah DWR website or over the phone by calling your nearest DWR regional office. The results of the drawing will be released no later than January the 7th, 2020, and you'll be notified by email, but you can also get the drawing results online or by calling 800-221-0659. Those limited entry hunts will be held April 11th through the 30th, 2020, and all total, there's about 1,750 limited entry permits that will be available. And keep in mind that if you do not draw one of the limited entry permits, you can still hunt turkeys in the spring. The general statewide turkey hunt happens in May, and the permits for the general season hunt are not limited, so you'll have no problem in getting one. Those general statewide turkey permits will go on sale at 8 a.m. on February the 20th, 2020. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources has leased more than 16,000 acres of private land for the upcoming 2020 Illinois spring wild turkey season. They do this through a program they call the Illinois Recreational Access Program, or IRAP. Now, that 16,000 acres is divided up into about 470 public access turkey hunting sites scattered around 40 different counties in the state. The sites are available to hunt free of charge to successful applicants during the spring youth turkey hunt and during the third and fourth segments of the spring turkey season. There are a total of 180 sites that are available in 38 counties for the two-weekend youth season, which is March the 28th through the 29th and April the 4th through the 5th. I think it's pretty cool that Illinois gives the Utes two weekends of a special season. A Ute in Illinois is classified as a hunter who is 17 or under, and they have to have a supervisor with them. Those applications are due by February the 22nd, 2020, to be eligible for the youth drawing. Now, more of those IRAP sites are going to be available for spring turkey season segments 3 and 4 for youth and adult turkey hunters. And those sites are going to be open on a first-come, first-served basis. To be eligible to hunt one of those sites, a hunter must first apply for a spring turkey permit through the IDNR lottery for an IRAP-eligible county. So if any of you guys in Illinois are interested in hunting any of the IRAP properties, then go online and search the term applications for IRAP turkey hunting sites, and you should be able to find all the information you want that way. Moving on, did you guys know that the residents of the state of Idaho hate wild turkeys? Hate them with a passion. Why, you ask? Because in parts of the state, turkeys are destroying farmers' crops. Here's what I'm talking about. The first of two special turkey seasons opened this past Sunday, which I think was December 1st, across four hunting zones running from south of Boise along the Oregon border and up into Adams County, west of McCall, Idaho. These hunts will occur on private land in zones 22, 31, 32, and 38. Game and Fish says the goal is to help stem damage done to private property, like crops. Not only is it crops that turkeys are damaging in southwestern Idaho, but last year, a couple in Preston, Idaho, returned to their home after being away for a few days to find that a turkey had broken in to their home through a window and trashed the house over a three-day period of time. The couple says that their homeowner's insurance would not cover the majority of the damage to the house. The state of Idaho wants its residents to know that if wild birds are running amok on their land in those southwest Idaho zones, then landowners can have their property be included in the hunt as long as it's more than 79 acres of land. During the hunt, only hens are allowed to be taken by hunters. The first season ends December the 31st, but no worries because a second season opens January the 1st and runs into the spring. Now that is hatred of wild turkeys. Hey, I'm not laughing at the damage to crops or people's homes or yards that's caused by turkeys. I'm really kind of laughing at the tone of that article because to me it seems like enemy number one in the state of Idaho, wild turkeys. So a couple of weeks ago, I got a private message on Facebook from a listener of the show, Jeff Lowe, and he was asking me if I'd heard anything about the bag limit in Kansas being cut from, I think it was 2 birds in the spring to 1 bird in the spring. And I told him I hadn't heard anything about that, but I would check with a friend of mine in Kansas and see if he knew anything about it. So I checked with him, and he gets on the DNR website, pulls up some information, sends me a text message back and says, no, no change. So I let Jeff know that there was no change to that, and now I'm letting Jeff know I was wrong because my friend was wrong. So while doing research for today's show, I stumbled across an article that says Kansas Wildlife and Park Commissioners have voted to restrict turkey hunting across the state, including in areas where experts did not suggest any changes. So there were 2 proposals that were brought up by state wildlife biologists, and one of the changes was meant for turkey units 3, 5, and 6 only. And the recommendation from the state biologist was to suspend the fall turkey season in those units for 20 and 21. Now, Unit 4 in Kansas does not have a fall turkey season at all anyway, so that was not part of the proposal. And Unit 1 was not part of the proposal either that the biologist had made. So the commission chairman, a gentleman by the name of Gerald Lauber, apparently was against the recommendation and offered an amended proposal. The amended proposal suggested that rather than suspend the fall season, we'll just shorten it to 41 days. That amendment also included Unit 1, which was not the target of what the state biologists were trying to do. And the article says that when commissioners were asked why they were including Unit 1 in the amended proposal, nobody could really give a solid answer to the question. So Lauber's amended proposal passed 6-1. And so I'm going to try not to get on my soapbox here, but just to give you an idea, the Kansas Wildlife and Park Commission Chairman, Gerald Lauber, who is a banker, he was CEO of a bank in Kansas and worked for that bank for 45 years. He knows more than any of the biologists that work for the state, and just apparently completely threw any recommendations that the biologist had out the door. Came up with his own proposal, and 6 out of the 7 people on the commission voted to approve his recommendation. 6 out of 7 people on the commission think that a banker knows better and knows more how to protect wild turkeys than the state biologists in Kansas do. I'm going to make one statement, and then I'm moving on because I'm not getting on my soapbox today. I am all for average citizens, me and you, having some input and say-so into our seasons and our bag limits for all wild animals that we hunt. But I'm going to tell you, as a mortgage broker, I don't know as much as the biologists who are in the field, who are studying these animals, the trends in their population, their reproductive habits, their reproductive trends, the recruitment of their young. I'm not studying all that like these biologists are. And these biologists are also talking to other biologists in other states, and they're sharing information about what is working for them in those states and what's not working. Kansas is not the only state that has this issue. A lot of our states do. Alabama's one of them. But we hunters need to hold the members of the commission accountable for what they do. Now, most of these members of the commission are appointed, and a lot of them are appointed by the governor or even the commissioner of our DNR, DWR, Wildlife and Park, whatever the wildlife governing entity is called in our state. We need to... All right, that's all I've got for you guys for the free portion of this week's episode of the Turkey Hunter Podcast. If you would like to hear the rest of this week's episode, then you will need to become a subscriber to the premium content of the Turkey Hunter Podcast. And in order to become a subscriber, what you need to do is text the word Turkey Hunter. Make it one word with no spaces. Text that to the number 44222. Once you do that, I'll send you some instructions that you'll need to follow, and eventually I'm going to email a link to you that you can click on to create your username and password for the Podbean application and to pay the $18 per year annual subscription fee of the Turkey Hunter podcast. Your $18 will get you not just the rest of this week's episode, but it will also get you the premium content for all of our past episodes, as well as the premium content for the next 52 weeks. There's a bunch of content that's locked up under the premium subscription. We're rounding the corner on the start of year number 3 with premium content. So you guys are going to want to have access to all that premium content at your fingertips, and you can do that by becoming a premium content subscriber for $18. And I don't think you'll be disappointed in that small investment. So that is all the stories that I've got for you guys today. Next week, I'm going to try to bring to you interviews with 3 of the 6 candidates who are running for the NWTF National Board of Directors. And for you guys who are members of the NWTF, you probably noticed in your November-December issue of Turkey Country magazine that you've got a postcard ballot inside that magazine alongside 6 profile articles of the 6 people who are running for the National Board of Directors. I like to do these interviews because I feel like it gives us a chance to get to know these people that are going to be running the organization that is looking out for our wild turkeys and our hunting heritage a little bit before we place a vote for them. So be sure to catch that. Oh yeah, and you know I'm going to ask them for a turkey story as well. So there will be some turkey hunting stories to be thrown in the mix to help entertain us as well. So that's all I've got for you guys today. But if you will do me a favor, I'd be very appreciative. If you would share this week's episode using the share feature in your podcast player application, share it to your social media pages. So if you are on Facebook, share it to your newsfeed on Facebook. If you're on Twitter, share it to your newsfeed on Twitter. Share this episode with those that follow you. It's a very helpful way to get the word out about the show, which is key. Because if none of you guys are listening to the show out there, I've got no reason to be doing it. So give me some reason to do it. Spread the Turkey Hunter podcast love. And know that I appreciate you very much for doing that. Hey, thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. I know that you have choices. I appreciate you spending your time with us. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I look forward to seeing you again next week. Goodbye. Thanks for tuning in. You were just listening to the Turkey Hunter podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please go on over to iTunes and leave a 5-star review. And make sure to head over to www.iamturkeyhunting.com to subscribe for free turkey hunting tips, tactics, strategies, and product reviews to help you have a more successful turkey season. And stay tuned for upcoming episodes on hunting afternoon birds, how to film your hunt, and the breeding cycle of hens, as well as some guest interviews. Thanks again for listening. We know your time is valuable, and we appreciate you sharing some of it with us. See you next week.